are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, March the 17th, and we've officially hit the lull of NBA news. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well, also a writer for PlayMichigan.com, still covering the casino industry as they close down across the state of Michigan here in this mid-March where we're dealing with coronavirus. I was thinking right before I pressed record, I'm taping this late on Monday night. I have not used my voice pretty much hardly at all today. I talked to my mom on the phone briefly, but all my other reporting and writing was done just by emails and writing up stories. So this is maybe the second time I've spoke. Let's be honest. I've probably spoke to myself walking around the apartment at times, and I did go walk to the store. So I maybe talked to someone. But yeah, here we are late at night on Monday using my voice for maybe the second time or third or fourth time all day. Good time. So maybe I should figure out a way to remedy that going forward as we're self-quarantining or social distance, whatever you want to call it. We're doing that here on the Locked On Podcast. Pistons podcast. We're going to pass along the NBA news of the day. Not much out there, but we all will talk about Blake Griffin's big donation from the end of last week. Not sure if we touched on that at all or not, but we want to give Blake some big ups for that. We're also going to talk about the future of the Locked On Pistons podcast, what you can expect during these times. I want interaction with you guys. I want ideas from you guys, but I'm going to run down some of the ideas of things we're going to do, things we're going to talk about, and want you guys to react to what you really want to hear, what you don't want to hear, modifications to that, all that stuff you can expect here in these next couple months. We're also going to hear from another member of the Pistons GT team. That's right, the NBA 2K League. I've got all those interviews queued up, so we're going to play all those. Trenton Simmons of Charger fame, of the handle there. You are next. We got three more guys after this one. We're going to hear from all of them. As you know, we were going to use up the content that we can and that we have here on the podcast. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore for that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But no, the NBA is still not happening right now. That is the news. I am a little jealous tonight of Matt Derry of Locked On Lions. There is the NBA year just started up, so there is news going on there. The Lions made some signings. Seem to be pretty nondescript, maybe some overpays, but I guess that's kind of free agency in every sport. As a fan, you sit there and think that everything's an overpay. So tough to judge these kind of things in the moment, but of course it's the Detroit Lions. So you assume the worst, and you assume Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia have no clue what they're doing because all evidence suggests that they don't. And we're just going to kind of play out the string here with their final season as the two guys in charge of the Lions, and they'll probably be gone this time next year. So good times there for Detroit sports fans and their Detroit Lions. But Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com, he's a little dry in terms of news today. I just listened to his podcast where he passed along everything he knew, took a couple questions. Not a lot there. Still, mid to late June is the best case scenario that the folks inside the NBA and ownership and league front offices are talking about right now. That is about 3 months from now, so a lot of time here, thanks to the coronavirus, knocking out all semblance of normal American life these days, global life, I should say, and just bad times all around. The NBA, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, the NBA will hold a Board of Governors call on Tuesday. Sources tell ESPN this will be the third meeting with owners and the commissioner since last Wednesday. So fast and furious, and they'll be obviously brainstorming, but we'll be holding out in case there's some more news that is coming our way from that call on Tuesday. Certainly there'll be some leaks of ideas of things that could possibly go on, but not a lot, I would imagine, in terms of action and definites. You know, there's just so much up in the air that clearly there's no way that they're going to know a whole lot about what's going to be happening 6 weeks from now, 8 weeks from now, 3 months from now. Officially, the NBA has said, you know, 30 days, and then we'll take a look at it after that. But like I said, Adrian Wojnarowski and everyone reporting that 30 days doesn't really mean anything. We're talking about much more than that as we look to the future. And again, I talked about it yesterday on the show. I don't expect Pistons to play another game this year. I'm thinking that when the NBA season, if the NBA season gets back going, whether that is June, even July, I think they're going to go straight to the playoffs. And I think they should. Why wouldn't they? It would seem silly to get the Pistons back to play five more games or something like that and get all that going on. It's just strange. So that's where my head's at with this whole thing. So obviously we're going to be talking about the draft quite a bit here during this time off. But Zach Lowe, ESPN.com, passed along today that there was a memo to teams this morning, Monday morning, that had instructions for taking temperature of everyone entering the team facilities. That's the world we're living in right now. People waiting to have their temperature check should remain 6 feet apart or more while doing that. I don't know how that works, but apparently any temperature 100.4 plus is considered a fever now. So keep that in mind, especially if you got the young kids. And those with the fever, of course, should leave the facility pending further tests. So if you have some business at the Pistons facility, and you probably don't, and you probably shouldn't go anywhere. But anyway, just watch that fever. But Mark Stein of New York Times is reporting things that we talked about really on yesterday's show about the NBA collecting data on available arena dates at G League buildings and practice facilities through the end of August, as well as teams' regular arenas, as it holds out hope of resuming the season. So, you know, even if the season gets going and maybe they'll do it down the line in empty arenas or in facilities that don't have fans, like the Pistons practice facility, where they could still televise it. And obviously, it would be a unique look for the team and for the league. But things like that could be the places where the playoffs take place, which would be strange all around, of course. But, hey, we would take basketball over no basketball at this point. But we want to talk about Blake Griffin a little bit here. He is donating $100,000 to arena workers at Little Caesars Arena. Really great of him. Kevin Love kind of set the tone with this. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Zion Williamson, and one or two other players, I believe, have been out there as well doing that. But what's interesting about this is that you have Little Caesars Arena, obviously, which has a couple of tenants there, with the Illich Group owning the facility and Platinum Equity, which is Tom Gores and the Pistons owner, they kind of rent the space for those games. So Platinum Equity and Illich Holdings, you know, who is really the ones that owe the arena, because, you know, Illich employs the workers and it's his arena. But, of course, Tom Gores, being who he is, bears some responsibility there. Platinum Equity, according to Brad Beard of the Detroit News, said that it was planning to assist in ensuring that part-time arena workers directly employed by the team would be paid during the league shutdown. And the Pistons also announced that people are working from home, people are receiving their paychecks. These are employees of the Detroit Pistons organization. Illich Holdings on Twitter the other day said, "We are committed to supporting our colleagues in the time of uncertainty. In light of the coronavirus, in conjunction with our partners, we are setting up a $1 million fund to cover the wages of our part-time event staff impacted by postponed events," end quote. Now, what's interesting about that is, in addition to all these employees, you have third parties employees at Little Caesars Arena who don't work for Illich, who don't work for LCA, who don't work for Platinum Equity either. They are employed by a company named Delaware North, which you've probably heard of if you're a sports fan, because it's the company that is contracted with a lot of arenas and professional sports teams to do their concessions. And that's maybe the bulk of the employees that work on game nights at places like Little Caesars Arena. I believe they also have the contract with Comerica Park to do Tigers games as well. This is probably a place where Blake's money could go, is this third party, the people that, you know, the Illich people don't feel like they're responsible for, the Platinum Equity people don't feel like they're responsible for. So I'd be interested to know how it all works out and how it all kind of goes there. But, you know, that being said, and Blake Griffin did his part. I'm not saying this at all. Did his part and more. No doubt about that. Kudos to Blake Griffin. But if you're talking about all those concession employees and you're talking about the expected missed wages of, 10 more home games or whatever it was for the Pistons, 9, something like that, I don't think that $100,000 goes all that far. I think that you would probably need more money than that to cover all the concession workers in all those dates for Delaware North employees. So something to keep in mind, and maybe we'll see some more expounding from the reporters who cover the team, if that's possible. Obviously, this is all private money, so it's not like there's public record available on this, but we'd be interested to know how this details all kind of work out. It would be nice if the workers got taken care of, but I do also agree and kind of sympathize. I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast today. Ryan Russillo kind of went on a little tangent, and it's something that I agree with, that a lot of people on Twitter, when Giannis made his announcement of donating money, that it's like, well, where are the billionaire owners? Why aren't they the ones taking up for this? Why aren't they the ones dealing with this? And like what Russillo said was right. Give it some time. Like, this is an unprecedented, unbelievable thing that's happening. We don't always have to yell at billionaires and rich people, right? I know that we have a little bit of a class warfare. I shouldn't say a little, a lot of a class warfare thing. And I'm not a billionaire guy. I'm not someone who's going to stick up for billionaires. That is not me. But if your instinct is to always be yelling at rich people, and by the way, you know, it's not Tom Gores' fault that this is happening. And I know that, and all these employees, and I would love for all the part-time workers to get their money back, their money, but they're not doing work. You know, there's not an event that's happening here. So, you know, and we would all like the middle class and even lower class and all the people who aren't billionaires to be all taken care of during this time. And they should be, and hopefully they will be. I'm among that group of people who technically don't really have a job, and it's tough times. But it's just, we don't need to just yell at rich people the second that something goes wrong, that you need to have this plan. You know, Tom Gores and the Illich Group, there are a million things going on in their companies and their businesses, and this is all stuff that we're finding out hour by hour how this whole thing is unfolding. So to yell at them that they don't have a plan to pay all these part-time workers, and again, hopefully they all get taken care of. I have a feeling they will get taken care of for these last 10 games or whatever. I think it's all going to work out for everyone in that respect. We all have our own problems and bigger problems as time goes on. But no, we don't need to yell at billionaires every time something isn't taken care of as quickly as you want it to go. So no, I didn't send any of those tweets. Where are the billionaires? So it's just, it's a time and a place, and let this thing breathe a little bit. We'll all get through it together. But up next, we're going to talk about how we're going to get through it together here on the Locked On Pistons podcast with some ideas of things we might be talking about and ways that you guys can help out and ideas that I'm looking from you as well. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we will talk to Charger. That's right, Trenton Simmons of the Pistons GT team of the NBA 2K League. They have their season postponed as well. They were going to start on March 24th with a tip-off tournament. That's right, the Pistons GT team, 5-on-5 NBA 2K League. They get together in New York, play 5-on-5 video games against another team. Esports is what it's called. I actually did a story about that, and hopefully that'll be running in sometime soon in the Detroit News. I also have another story that is on the website right now, detnews.com. Check it out, probably in the print edition on Tuesday, I'm assuming. But it's about the high school sports shortage of referees, of officials out there. So read that story, and if you've got some finance issues from the coronavirus, which I'm assuming many of you out there might have, especially I'm talking to the younger set. Maybe you played some high school sports. Maybe you're in your 20s. Maybe you're in college. Maybe you're looking at this bleak future economically that we all might be having. I'm thinking, how do I get a little bit of extra dough? How do I make sure that sports in Michigan continue in a positive way? How do I help out my community? How do I help out the youth of Michigan, the youth of America, if you decide to move away somewhere? Become a high school sports official, basketball, baseball, and softball. A lot of need for that in the MHSAA. Of course, there are not sports going on right now, but I'm assuming if you get in touch with associations, maybe there's some videos that you can watch. Maybe there's some rule books that you can read. Go up to the library, get all that stuff. I'm sure there's information online. Learn the rules. Become so when the time comes where they need that baseball, softball umpire like they do right now across the state, get certified so that you're ready to roll right when it's game time. You can do it all summer with the youth leagues, make some bucks. doing that. High school football coming up in the fall, do that. You know, we're talking about 50, 60, 70, 75 bucks a game. Do the varsity, do the JV, get 150 bucks. You know, you could get to a 7 o'clock game for those as well. Make your own schedule. You pick the games that you want to do, the nights you want to be available. Some sports pay more. Some areas might pay more even for the high school stuff. I would recommend it, especially if you're that type of person who can handle the angry parents, the snot-nosed kids, all that stuff. Maybe that's not me, but maybe I'll think about it. Maybe that's something that we could do going forward. But I also want to talk about the future of this podcast. Yes, we're going to keep doing it. I'm going to be the man running the show for now. We're going to have more guests. We're going to have more interviews. And I want to know who you guys want me to talk to. We're going to circle back on all the folks you've heard from on these interviews. We're going to bug James Edwards again. We're going to bug Rod Beard again. We're going to get Wojo on. We're going to get John Neo on. We're going to get George Blaha. We're going to chase him down. We're going to chase down Mark Champion. And I'm just doing this list off the top of my head of the people you've heard on this show before. Duncan Smith, Aaron Ferguson, all those guys. And if you're listening, you are one of these people. Yes, I'm going to be coming for you and trying to get some more interviews. Laz and those guys all from Detroit Bad Boys. Joe Truck, we've had him on. I haven't had Ku on, I believe, yet. We're chasing him down. All the guys that you've heard before. Hopefully we'll get some gals in there as well. Who do you want? Who have you not heard on this show that you'd like to choose? Of course, I'll be checking with the Pistons. Is there any players that are bored that want to come on and talk on ambassadors, guys like Ricky Mahorn, guys like Earl Cureton, any other former players that are still around in town? This is a good opportunity for the Pistons organization to send some of their people out there. Independently from the team, I'll reach out to players that I know, Twitter, email, all that good stuff. I'm going to reach out to agents to see if there's players, former players, that want to come on. All that good stuff. So if there's anyone that you haven't heard, if there's anyone who you think might have a unique perspective about the Pistons' past, future, present, even the NBA in general, who is that? Reach out to me. Let me know. Do you know someone? Do you have a friend of a friend? Is your brother's girlfriend's uncle's daughter married to the guy who cuts the hair of Rasheed Wallace? You know, something like that. Do you got any of those connections out there? Send me that email. Let's get that info out there. And see how that goes down. We're also going to be stealing ideas from other shows, from other content generators. If you see something good out there, send it along. We could do that. I saw Nolan Bianchi, our good friend, Locked On Red Wings, him and Ethan. Check out that show, by the way. Those guys are trudging along, doing a great job as new members to the Locked On Podcast Network. He's got the Mount Rushmore of Pistons Red Wings villains. We'll do that. Sure, we'll steal that. So who are the four people that would be on the Mount Rushmore of Pistons villains? We're going to do that. And it's nice because I was thinking about it. I'm not going to reveal some of my thoughts yet because we'll do a whole show on it, at least a whole segment. It's nice when some of your villains are also some of the biggest names in NBA history. So that's a good thing to do there. I want to talk about shoes with you guys. It's something that we've never talked about here on the show because I'm not really a sneakerhead. But we got Doc Joe Brown. This is right in his wheelhouse. I'm sending up the bat signal for Doc Joe Brown to come on, talk about the history of shoes with the Pistons organization. I know Grant Hill had the Fila deal when he came out, and that was kind of a big thing there. We'll go back and revisit that. I know Derrick Rose, current Piston, is big in the shoe game, especially overseas. I don't know anything other than that, really, to be honest with you. I don't know if what Isaiah Thomas's shoe situation was. For some reason, Converse sticks into my head. I don't know what Blake Griffin's own shoe. Is Blake Griffin ever had his own shoe? I'm assuming, since he was such a big dunker and great with the youth set back in the day, that at some point he had to have his own shoe. Ben Wallace, did he have shoes? Sheed, all those guys. I don't know. So bat signal up to the you guys who are sneakerheads, especially Doc Joe Brown or whoever else wants to jump in and give their thoughts. We'll do a trivia contest with the listeners at some point, find out who the biggest Pistons fan is ever. I know we talked about that all last summer, and then we get tied up in some other things. We'll bring that back at some point. What about this? What about basketball cards? Are there any of you guys out there who were collectors back in the day? I know I was, big-time collector. What were your favorite brands? What were your favorite iconic cards that you had, still have? Do you get the Michael Jordan rookie card? What else you got out there? Do you got, what was the brand that had the David Robinson holding up the jersey there? I'm blanking on some of the brands from back in the day, but I'll do a deep dive into some of the old Beckett magazines. Does Beckett still exist? Is it an online only publication at this point? Does anyone collect cards anymore? Is it even a thing? Do they even exist? Do rookies get their first basketball card of themselves and say, wow, finally got a basketball card? So we'll talk about all that stuff from back in the day. Lots of history talk. We're going to go back into the vault, right? We're going to talk about a show maybe that talks about the way back. Then we'll go into the 60s. We'll go into the 70s. The past. We'll go into the Fort Wayne Pistons. Why did they move here? Why did Fred Zoellner bring the franchise here? I'm reaching out to people in Fort Wayne, historians, writers out there that might be able to shed a light on the very early days of this franchise. We know all the stories about Al Kaline and the Detroit Tigers in the 80s and all that, but the Detroit Lions, we know all about the history of the Lions because they've always sucked, and it's easy to know the history. The Red Wings, we know all about Gordie Howe. We all know about Delvecchio and Lindsay, all those guys, and of course the better times in the 90s and the 2000s with the Yzermans and the Fedorovs and the Scotty Bowman. But the Pistons, there wasn't really a whole lot of history before the Bad Boys. So we'll kind of go back to some of those dark days, the Cobo Arena days, the Silverdome days, the Olympia days as well, and talk to some of those folks who have some perspective on back in the day. How about some more gimmicks? How about the five best moments in Pistons history? How about the five worst moments in Pistons history? The five best draft picks the Pistons ever made. The five worst draft picks the Pistons ever made. Five best trades. Five worst trades. You see where I'm going here. We can do a lot of this stuff. Compare the eras. What would happen if the Bad Boys played the going to work era team? What would happen there? We've done some of the all-time Pistons teams in the past too. The five best players. Who's the starting center? The starting forwards? The starting guards? We'll revisit some of that, although like I said, we've done that before as well. We're going to do a sports movie at some point. What are the best five basketball movies out there? I've got some thoughts, but we'll assign some homework and say, hey, everyone this week, watch White Men Can't Jump, and then we're gonna do our breakdown of it from a basketball fan's perspective. Is it rewatchable? Is it hold up? Is it aged? What do we think about Sidney Dean and Billy Ho with White Men Can't Jump? Those kind of things. I will give you my critique of it. And this is a situation where you guys can jump on with me. We'll have someone who's a big above the rim fan compared to someone who's a big Air Bud fan or whatever. And what's the best movie? That kind of stuff. We're going to watch old Pistons games together on YouTube, and I'm going to tell you about things you may have forgotten about the Pistons versus Michael Jordan, or the finals matchup against the Lakers. Some moments that you may have forgotten. My five biggest takeaways from Pistons games that I rewatch on YouTube. Call in. Tell me what you think about all that stuff. What ifs, right? Famous what ifs for the franchise. Melo instead of Darko, of course, we all know that one. We can't do that. But we're going to start with that. Famous what ifs for the Detroit Pistons. What are those out there that are what ifs that the Pistons could have changed the course of this franchise? Recent times, past times, could have been something that would have worked out better for the Pistons, could have been a move that would have worked out a lot worse for the Pistons, some happenstance circumstances that happened and why they happened and what it did to set the course of the future of the franchise and how it kind of changed that going forward. I'm going to come up with some of those. We're going to do that this week sometime. So I need help for that right now. Call us on the Google voicemail line, 810-666-1546, and tell us your famous what-ifs for the Pistons. What was a scenario that may have happened, that could have happened, and how could have things have changed with a what-if? That's what we're looking for this week from you guys, 810-666-1546. Give me your name, tell me where you live, and tell me your Pistons what-if. We're also opening up the lines forever for anything you want to talk about, especially if you got to vent about something. Open up the therapy lines. I know they do the Pistons Thoughts. They do something similar with the therapy sessions. It's escaping my mind what Jordan calls it. But we're opening up the therapy lines for you guys to, as disgruntled Pistons fans, as disgruntled sports fans, you've got carte blanche to talk about whatever you want in this show. I'm not promising that I'm going to play everything, but the threshold's going to be pretty low. I know we got the regular callers that we hear from quite a bit. I want you guys to call still. I want more regular callers. I want this to be a team effort. I want this to be a little bit easier for me on a day in and day out basis here. So we're looking for your famous what ifs. That's the first topic that we're opening up the lines for. 810-666-1546. And you can't say Melo instead of Darko or Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh or Chris Kamen or Kirk Heinrich. None of that over Darko, but any other what ifs. And we'll talk about those later on this week. But up next, we're going to talk to Charger Trenton Simmons of the Pistons GT team. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, we're here with Trenton Simmons of the Pistons GT team, new with the squad this year. So, Trenton, what do you think about Detroit so far?
I love it. It's a great experience already. They treat me right. I like it. Mm-hmm.
And we're here doing this interview at the new Pistons Performance Center, the training facility that opened at the beginning of this NBA season. What do you think about the digs here?
I love it, man. It's a whole brand new situation to me. I've never even been inside of a practice court like this. Shoot, I'm loving it, taking it all in. Just experience is new. I love it.
And you're new to the 2K League as well.
Mm-hmm. This is my first season. I've been trying every year, but finally got in this year.
So for the first couple years, were you involved in the tryouts and the combines that they did in the events? What got you over the top this year?
This year, I think it was – so there's a thing called Pro-Am, and that's like pretty much the scouting system, I would say. And I took on a new role this year because my team – I usually play with like a group of guys that's considered some of the best players in the world. This year, I didn't do that. I played with some of the guy. I played with a couple guys that actually tried to get in. Three of my teammates, they all tried out this year, and I was the only one that got in. And yeah, so like, I took on a new role, took on a bigger role, I'd say, and I think that elevated my game in every aspect. So I think that put me over the top, and I just went into combine with a hungry mentality and just dominated, and finally got in.
Mm-hmm. What was that feeling like when you found out you got in?
Man, it was a dream come true. I've been doing this for 3 years now, and I've been playing 2K with all these guys for about 7+ years. So to get that email, and I'm like, I'm in. So because that was all my whole thing. And once I get in that pool, I knew I was getting drafted. So
you try out for the first couple of years of the NBA 2K League, and you don't get in. Are you watching like every game and just kind of maybe a little bit sad or mad about it? Or how, did you not pay attention to the season?
Or? Oh no, I watched pretty much. I'd say 95% of the game, especially the ones that all my friends are on, because I'm good friends with a lot of people in the league. So it was a bittersweet feeling. Happy for them to get in the league and watch them like succeed and make money and have fun and enjoy their life. But I mean, me, now that I'm in it, now we're all happy together. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like it came true finally. So. Mm-hmm. I'm in.
And as you've followed the league the last couple of years, obviously the Pistons GT team had a nice playoff season in year one, a real good regular season, and not so much last year. What stood out about this team in particular, and what did you know about the franchise before you got here?
So I knew pretty much everybody. There was rumors and like people talking, the outside people talking, you know, like that Dev and Joe are not the best players, all this, all that. But I'm good friends with Raymo and JT, like outside of 2K. And Raymo, I talked to Raymo pretty much every day leading up to the draft. He was just telling me, trust me, Trenton, trust me. We're going to be good. And I'm like, okay, I got you. I'm going to trust you. So it's like, oh, here we are, and we're going to make it happen. Mm-hmm.
And getting familiar with the guys and getting them to know, you know, day in and day out, last couple period of time, how's it going in terms of getting familiar?
I love these guys already. I can already tell they're good guys at heart. They're all for the team. Everybody's ready to work, ready to put in the work. And we're just here. We're ready to play.
What are your impressions of the city of Detroit so far?
We haven't done too much outside of it, but, I mean, we went bowling. I love bowling. I kind of suck at it. But, I mean, the stuff we've been to a couple games. All right, we've been to a game. I've been to a game because I've been sick this past weekend. But I love it. I mean, honestly, I'm a cold guy. I love the cold. So I love the weather, honestly, right now. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, I love it, to be honest. First time living on my own. It's a new experience. I actually enjoy it. I never thought I would, but it is what it is. So, mm-hmm.
And so you grew up in North Carolina. Were you a Charlotte Hornets, Charlotte Bobcats fan, or were you more into the college games back then?
Growing up, my middle school, my eighth grade year, we moved to Jacksonville, Florida. Mm-hmm. And I was never really a big NBA guy. because I was more like growing up in the small town. I was a big football guy coming up, and I was a big NFL guy. I'd never really watched NFL. I mean, NBA. So I really didn't have a basketball team growing up. But then it was like, I think it was like 2007, 2008. I found LeBron, and then that's he got me into the NBA. And then yeah, I just fell in love with whatever team LeBron went to. I just chased him around, honestly. And still to this day, I'm just a big LeBron fan. But if I had to choose a team, I might as well just choose the team I play for. You know what I mean? So I go with Detroit.
And what about other games besides 2K? Is there other things you stand out?
I'm a big Madden player. I love Madden because I'm a football guy at heart too. There's a game called Smite. It's like a virtual like just a battle royale type game. You just play. It's very strategic, and like I love that part of the game. Like that's how I play 2K. I feel like I just outsmart people, and then there's like there's another game called Apex. You might know of it. It's like a shooters game. It's like a virtual game. Also, it's fun. And that's pretty much it. I mean, and then you might know of Overwatch. I dabble into that a little bit. So, I mean, I just play whatever. Honestly, I'm not really too picky or anything. So I just play whatever.
And Trenton, what's the handle and how do folks find you on social media as well?
Handle on Twitter. I'm pretty much just only use Twitter, but it's ChargerX704. That's it, pretty much.
All right, Trenton, welcome to Detroit. Good luck to you this week.
Oh, yeah, appreciate it.
This year, I guess.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
And thanks again to Trenton Simmons of the Pistons GT team for joining us last week before the NBA 2K League was postponed a little bit. But that'll do it. This is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Have a great day, everyone, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.